Before we started recording, you made like a kind of metaphor with like the slime. Like, can you talk more about that?
So.
Now to a dire warning about climate change. According to a new report, experts say that we have until 2030 to avoid catastrophe.
Snails obviously leave these trails, and what the trails do is help other snails find them. Will always continue to fascinate me about eco-poetics in general is that it is thinking about what lingers and what residue is left behind and things that we discard, but how can we move those forward with us?
Hi everybody, welcome to the Poetry Vlog. Today we have my good friend, Woogie Bay. Woogie, will you introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Woogie Bay. I recently graduated from the University of Washington Bothell's MFA program. And outside of that, I interned for Wave Books, and I'm trying to start an eco-poetics journal called The Snail Trail.
Perfect. Also, small plug for Wave Books. They are the best to get desk copies from and to teach in classes. It's really great. So shout out to Wave Books. You're basically my favorite press to teach from. Students, you probably all have every class at least one Wave Books book, and that's partly why. And then Snail Trail Press. Tell us a little bit more about it.
So it's an eco-poetics press. We kind of use that term like pretty widely.
Yeah.
Mostly it means like as long as people are thinking consciously and caringly about what they're writing and how it impacts the environment, including living and non-living organisms and people and all of that, we consider it eco-poetics. And we just wanted to create a journal where these kinds of ideas about environment and mutuality and respect and care could be explored, and with a little more experimental kind of focus.
Perfect. It's amazing. I'm excited for it to come out. I've been following the updates online.
I'm making paper for the cover.
That's exciting.
It'll be very DIY.
Really exciting. Awesome. And I'm excited too that you mentioned that it's eco-poetics. So folks that are viewing, if you're studying like what are eco-poetics, it basically means poetics that are highly aware of the environment and ways to be a little bit more sustainable in our relationship within different environments. But we are definitely going to talk about ways to build like community as well as like starting places for writing, right? As like these small kind of like almost like shifting shapes, like tracks and trails that are kind of like not where we normally look. So it'd be like super easy. I know that we always talk about this as friends actually, but oftentimes students too, when they start a class, are like, how do I write the next like Nobel Prize winning poem, right? Or like, how do I be part of this big literary scene? Or like, how do I get to like every reading? Or I need to perform on a stage with like a huge audience. And a lot of like the work we're doing, which actually like the coalition versus the smallness, is like coalitional building is actually in the very, very, very small kind of worlds that you would otherwise erase by just kind of trying to get higher up in what you already know. So can you talk a little bit more about like snails? You can talk about your press, your own experiences with community spaces and organizing. Woogie was modest, but is like an organizer extraordinaire.
I even want to think about like, so Chelsea and I and our friends Abby and Caitlin, we did a reading back in May at Open Books in Seattle. And that to me, I feel like is, what we're talking about, like building community in like very small ways. But also, yeah, we just did it. Nobody asked us, nobody reached out as like part of their reading series. We wanted to do it. So we reached out to Open Books and we kind of created a space.
Like I said, organizer extraordinaire.
We created that space, and you know, I feel really lucky because we have that community and these like really incredible friendships. But it does start very small. It starts with friends, and it starts with people who share interests in poetry and just want to build community, as opposed to, like you said, like climbing a kind of poetry ladder, which may be unattainable or maybe not, might not even be what people want. So yeah, I think just like taking that action, I mean, because so many venues are so supportive and they'll be so happy to like host a reading. Even if it's not like affiliated.
Which I think people don't know. Because I didn't know that until you taught me that. I thought, oh, well, the venue has to invite you or otherwise you're a burden. But I didn't realize, like, of course, you're bringing like potential sales into the shop. And they're like creating a space for the community. It's always fun to like experience poetry with people who aren't, who you'd otherwise experience it with. Maybe. So like there's that element in terms of like public facing. I'm also thinking about, before we started recording, you made like a kind of metaphor with like the slime, like that they leave behind and that's how they like find each other and stuff. Can you talk more about that?
So our press is called Snail Trail Press. There are many kind of definitions to that, like actual like snail slime, like snails obviously leave these trails, and what the trails do is sometimes, depending on like the snail or the type of snail, like help other snails find them, or like kind of are like a map for other snails and directions on top of like the snail slime, like pretty much like helping the environment, like helping things decompose and all that stuff. So I mean, it's like a really useful slime, like grossness.
I want to make sure that we get to your poems right off the bat. So will you open by reading some of your own work for us?
Yes. It's, they're not titled. It's a draft that I've been working on for my thesis.
As it goes in MFA.
So they are not titled, but I will go. In bread and flowers, in blood and blur, some child disposed in crumb, tunnels of prayer and cinnamon empty. When you rummage the bag, purse, pocket, was it your love in place of heat or syrup on the lip? Spoke affection and hunger, eat a peach another. Had you pinched, then chewed, the pigeons flown to our balcony full of shit and rice, plate set next to metal, griped about weather, have you? Have you eaten, you asked, which I mistook for anger but grief, poke those ribs, the corpse, not mine in your mouth already? Have you turned over from the pounding that made your flesh so tender? One, when you tenderize the meat, two, pull apart the limbs, three, slow and slow, four, wrapped in foil, five, stirring occasionally, six, salt to taste, eight, the fatty portion, tasted of dog, tasted full and dripping, your palm pressed against checkered tile, tasted memory redrawn from blue and flowers, a dress sewn, a muzzle torn, tasted tame in front of friends who offered help, did you not serve dinner, tasted warm from pressure, wrapped in flesh, tasted sharp in that hand that cut the treat and asked for more. Was a white corner, then saw a hole, was stained and flaked, was not blood but pepper, was streaked on white, was ingredients water, was parceled plucked, was your back hunched in a red bin in which you bathed the mung. One, from the sprout, soaked in water, two, beneath the skin, three, fried and stirred, four, on high heat, five, to bark, six, a bruise.
Read and then read again.
Okay. You don't really have much.
I, first of all, I loved that. I want to make a couple quick notes about what strikes me when you read. Okay. It starts off very like what I call poet voice, right? I'm like, oh no, it's going to be in poet voice, or it's like, da, 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 but it's not. That's what's so amazing about it. Like, you managed to make a really, really soft inflection around something like tenderizing happen without having it be tender. If that makes sense. And I love how your breath picks up until we're like in this kind of visceral scene with you. And it, when looking at the page as well, you do a really effective way of kind of pacing yourself according to the line breaks. So just in terms of reading, I think you're like a phenomenal, phenomenal reader. So you all had the pleasure of hearing it. In terms of the content, which strikes me about your poems, is that it traffics in this extremely visceral scene. And it's something like a scene. Like every time I feel like I'm ripping onto something, it slips back off in a kind of horror way.
like, right? Like there's like blood. It's like, what, you had a line about beet tender.
The pounding that made your flesh so tender. Yeah.
Is, yeah. That was very long. Go ahead.
No, I mean, that is a comment that I've been like kind of surprised to hear about the way that people think about my work, is that you are like slipping into and slipping out of, or like being taken out of.
Yeah.
I didn't really notice that, but now as I'm writing more and rereading my work, I'm like, yeah. I do notice that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something for viewers who are interested in like writing practice, you have a lot of recurrent images that get recycled, right? Mm-hmm. Especially around like dogs and meat. Mm-hmm. And then also around like wetness, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. And it seems like you're also between violence and kind of like a stepping away from the violence. Mm-hmm. How does that function for you in your writing? And why did you pick this poem, and how does that correspond to what you're going to talk to about today?
I rewrite the same poem like several times into different poems. Yeah. So I think that's where the repetition comes from. Mm-hmm. But it is a way for me to like think about and like keep rethinking what I'm writing, what I'm trying to say. I don't think it's like commitment issues, but I definitely like, I'm always trying to like look elsewhere.
Sometimes like folks will jump when they start writing poetry, right? For the like, I'm gonna write a love poem. I'm gonna write like a telling how messed up the world is poem, or I'm gonna tell like a hate poem. I don't know.
Yeah.
Here's my story of who I am in a poem.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? And like, you're like flipping that, and you're like, how do you start with like the trails or like the tiny things that you might not always pay attention to?
Mm-hmm.
So how has that affected your interviewing question.
Yeah,
I know,
yeah.
But, like, I kind of feel like that's maybe the most important takeaway.
That's an interesting question. Mm-hmm. I feel like I mentioned this in my other video. I always write new poems out of old poems or things that I've encountered. So like, I always feel like I'm in dialogue with either another writer or like a past like draft of a poem. It doesn't ever feel new, which is why I think the garbage and the snail slime and compost poetics in general is like really interesting to me, because it is this kind of like cyclical like, like decomposing and then being made new kind of pattern.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's the only way that I've in recent years been able to write poetry. I personally love this process, because it feels like in the new poem there's like residue. It's like residue, and it is a trail, and it's just always like connected in a way which I really like. And I think that's kind of what's always fascinated me, and what will always continue to fascinate me about eco-poetics in general, is that it is thinking about what lingers and how and what residue is left behind, and things that we discard, but how can we move those forward with us in a productive like way, you know?
I'm wondering if like the sort of desire for and the pleasure in kind of like reworking and repurposing old poems, or writing in response to and inspiration of and kind of like working with something else, corresponds to that kind of pulling away from feeling compelled to produce poems. Mm-hmm. Like if it's a similar sort of like, there's so much material
mm-hmm.
that sometimes it is like, it is oftentimes a creative and intellectual effort mm-hmm. to assemble things mm-hmm. that are already out there and kind of like put them together, if that makes sense.
That is actually interesting, given that we've both talked about this, but like over the past like year and few months, like just finding more joy in like the facilitation of poetry communities and readings and stuff like that, as opposed to actually producing poetry. So like, if I'm producing poetry, it feels like a kind of curation as opposed to just like simply, like as opposed to just me like always writing and generating, like I'm curating. And I really like that way of thinking about it.
And your projects are also like really project, right?
Yeah, I write pretty project based.
Yeah.
I can't write single poems.
I can't either. But I've never written a poem and started getting pregnant, I guess.
I can't, like, imagine my poems, like, living individually. I think that's why, like, I need them to, like, communicate with, like, other pages in
which
the entire manuscript.
Which also doesn't lend itself. So we could go back to, like, social media episodes, right? Like, Azura's. Mm-hmm. And I think in other ones we've referenced this, but in poetry, it's so much about, like, the poem that can be, like, retweeted or reposted or, like, packaged nicely on an online, you know what I mean? But, like, it doesn't lend itself to kind of, like, sinewy projects, you know, where, like, things are kind of, like, interconnected and long, and if you put one poem in a journal, it doesn't stand up on its own. Yeah. I actually have had people who, like, don't like project books because of that, like, the poem needs to stand on its own, and my whole, like, system rejects that. My whole body is like,
I reject it. Yeah,
I was like, no. But that also takes the pressure off of ever having to complete a poem, because then you kind of know you have the next parts of the series to tease it out. So I think it can also be, like, easier than thinking, I have to write this poem, and now it's going to, like, be this big thing, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
This was our not-so-hot take that covers up our real hot take, which is, it would be great if, when we talk about poetry, we talk less about a finished product that will get you to the top, and a lot more about writing about these kind of unexpected, smaller pieces that are repurposed, and writing in ways that kind of, like, recycle and repurpose, and writing ways that connect people in, like, small ways, like, all the tiny connections. So that is what Snails and to do with poetry. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
And remind everyone where they can find you online.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at QODNRL.
Perfect. The links to all of that are in the description below. So if you're a writer and you want to submit your writing and you're really jiving with our philosophy of writing, now you also have somewhere to submit.
Yeah.
So you got kind of an extra bonus.
And it's in print and online, and it's a beautiful little journal that we hand bind. So.
Oh my goodness. I'm going to submit.
Please do.
Okay. All right. So check that out and submit to it if you're a writer. All levels, all different varying stages, definitely encouraged. And especially if you feel like this philosophy is yours as well. And of course, the Poetry Vlog is on Twitter as the Poetry Vlog. I always just go to thepoetryvlog.com. So the and then poetry and then V-L-O-G vlog.com. And all of the links to everything are there, from the podcast to the YouTube and Instagram to the... Oh yeah, thanks.
There it is.
She's obviously better at YouTube than me. I'm like, it's there. Like, just dig out. So click down below, like and subscribe, and I think that's it.
All
right. Bye, buddy.
Bye.